I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Eladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said,
I want to make a podcast!
Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. It's episode 9... No, it's episode 18. Episode 18! I'm John, your host, and today we've got quite a show for you. There's a lot going on. So first up, I'm going to talk with the guys. There was one little thing that we kind of left out of our X-Men chat and our video game chatting and everything, and I wasn't ever quite sure where to put it in. I think I'm going to give it to you right now. It's just a quick, short segment that the guys, let's see, it was Daryl, Jacob, Jason, Joe, and I all talked about our favorite X-Men video arcade. And then later on, I pit Eric and Jacob against each other in a game of trivia. Trivia deathmatch! No one really dies, though. We just have a lot of fun screwing up our beeps. So that'll be something to look forward to later on. And, boy, we got a lot of guests. I've talked to Tom Freeman. He does Dark Moon. We've talked to Chris Handy of Paco Game. Jason Zachary Pott. He does a lot of weird comics. He's creating a whole universe over there. We'll talk to Kaylee Montgomery about her Etsy store, Awesome Something, appropriately named, because it's pretty awesome. We have a little bit of Friday afternoon tea. And then later on at the end, we geek out with David Peterson, Jason Kafo and Kazu Kibuishi, and Todd Nock. And then we'll also play a little thing here. Rob went and saw the Guardians of the Galaxy 17-minute deal there. And he gives us his little recommendation, review, whatever you call it, about that. So check that out. That'll be cool. And at the end, we're going to close out the show. We've had our first music submission sent to the show, and I thought that was a pretty good idea. So, you know, we all geek out about music just as much as everything else. So at the end, we're going to play a song by Shell Shock Lullaby off their Shades of Grey album. It's kind of a punk, poppy, punkish song. And it's called All I Need. Yeah, so all that, everything, craziness, all these people, all these guests, all this stuff, everything that I just mentioned is going to happen on this episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. Here we go. Let's go into talking about that X-Men video game. Here we go.
Oh, one thing you didn't add to the show notes for X-Men. I don't know if you guys remember this. I used to go to arcade a lot.
Oh, I love that game.
The video game. It was kind of like those dungeon crawler type of games. Yeah. But you play as X-Men. And I always played as Colossus, for instance. I love playing as Colossus. Nightcrawler. And Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler was a good character.
Is it almost like an X-Men Legends or Ultimate Alliance where everyone plays as a different guy, like a team of four, and you go through.
Yeah. And you're basically just going, it's a side-scroller, you know, and yeah, there's bosses. Like, but I always played as Colossus because he had this awesome thing. You'd be like, whoa! And like this big.
He would, like, look in every direction, right?
Yes.
The beam would go everywhere, yeah.
And then, Nightcrawler would kind of do the same thing. He was, like,
over the screen.
Yeah, all over the place, yeah.
Yeah.
And they all had their crazy, awesome things.
And if I remember correctly, in the arcade, wasn't it one of those ones that was sort of fanned out and you could get, like, two or three or four people playing at once, right?
And I always felt that Storm, you know, I didn't enjoy playing her. I always felt that she was probably the most powerful character in that game. Because she didn't have just one special move like a lot of them did. She had a few. I remember she can do different things with different weather that could affect different things.
She had a wind one and an electricity one.
Yeah, and she might only had two, but I think most of them only had like one special power. Like Colossus only had that one thing, and Nightcrawler only had that one thing. They were awesome, But yeah, we should talk about that too. We didn't. I don't know if anybody played it, you know. But
I mean, I remember playing it a few times. I actually think I ran into it a lot at the college I went to, Monroe Community College in New York.
Yeah, yeah, I know where Monroe is. My dad lives right outside there now.
Yeah.
I always played that in Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat 2. Those are like my two games
that actually had that. So I used to trip that thing for like $20, $30, $40 a day.
Yeah, and luckily, I would go around town collecting cans as a little kid,
yes,
and returning them just so I can get enough quarters to go to the arcade.
That's yeah, we used to get like garbage child. Bags full of cans,
yeah,
just to
yeah,
go dump
garbage
off
bags,
again.
And it was only like maybe be $10. But as a kid at like nine years
10
old,
bucks is a lot
10 bucks is a lot of money. Especially in 92 and stuff like 90s, and that's a lot of money for a 9 year old.
Yeah.
Nowadays a 9 year old's like $10. What the hell is that? You know,
I could just buy a gumball with that. What are you doing?
Like, great.
Jason, are you still there? Do you remember the game that we're talking about or not?
I remember seeing it like recently. I think it was at Comic-Con. I've never played it.
Oh crap, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think they had it in the game room. Wasn't it all the way upstairs, right?
Another one that Jason and I played when you had the on the PS3, we had I don't know if it was Lego's X-Men, but it was like Lego's Marvel, I think, in general. You were playing two players on it, and you get to choose. There's Captain America was on it, for instance, and like Iron Man, but a lot of
the X-Men, Marvel, Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, like Ultimate Alliance, there was the X-Men game too.
That was pretty
X-Men Legends, where you could team up with a bunch of X-Men guys, and they actually had team up powers. Like if someone used Iceman's power at the same time Wolverine uses his claws.
Yeah, and if you connected them together,
like
the power would just be even more
icy powerful. Rage or Berserk Rage or Icy Storm or whatever. Yeah, they combined
the
different characters.
I like that you had the everything. You didn't have to pick the optimal selection of what characters you wanted to be available. It's kind of like with Lego. Jason and I played a lot of like Lego Star Wars together. We had a lot of fun playing it, like in different team. But like, it's funny because you could finish any level with any of the characters.
Yeah, you didn't have to use the one that was supposed to be for that character, right?
Yeah, but sometimes it was way easier with a certain set of characters. But yeah, it felt kind of like that. But that was the only new game X-Men game I played with X-Men in, other than the old. Early 90s arcade game.
Yeah,
it wasn't in the show notes, so I thought I'd point that out.
Awesome, awesome stuff. How many of you guys remember that? Remember that arcade? Boy, that's definitely something worth geeking out over. I hope they bring it back to Emerald City. That would be cool. I want to play it again. Now I've really got my blood boiling. I'm burning. I want to play it! So what I'd like to do on this show is introduce you to a lot of new things, cool stuff that's definitely geek-worthy. And lately, we've done a couple of interviews. So I'd like to introduce you to Tom Freeman. Well, Tom Freeman has a new webcomic coming out in October called Dark Moon. And he's trying to incorporate a lot of sound and visual elements into the webcomic, so you get more than just a reading experience. You get a full, well-rounded multimedia blast. So check out what Tom Freeman has to say about Dark Moon, and if you want to hear more of his interview, go to the interview section on superawesomegeekshow.com, and you can find Tom's interview as well as a whole bunch of others there.
And I'm here today with Tom Freeman, and Tom does a little bit of everything. Tom, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know all this cool stuff that you do.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm kind of come from a music background, and I just started a comic kind of that I wanted to add music in to and have music as a dimension in the comic. So that's kind of how I got into the comic world. And comics seemed like a good way to add motion or add the art with the music and create these like visceral moments. I'm going to try to get some, we're going to do some atmospheric film, more film style music for some of the scenes and just kind of mix it all together. Like you're saying, different musics with different emotions, different feels. And it's against a sci-fi backdrop. I wasn't sure about it, but once you look, it really all comes together in this very cool kind of world. And it kind of adds to the reading feel, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, I'm digging it so far. Like what you have up there on the Dark Moon website is just really piqued my interest. I mean, in all kinds of ways.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I love the, you know, know, the teleportation idea. You know, you've got the moon, you've got, you know, Earth, space, you've got, you know, all this stuff just going, quantum mechanics, you know, you go into the whole quantum world with the teleportations and all that stuff, and it's like, it's just touching on so many things that I think will be really cool to see it all come together.
We want to keep the story kind of mysterious, and, you know, I'm really hoping, you know, it gets very interesting towards the, you know, towards the middle and the ends of the story. It goes into some really weird areas.
You can find out more from Tom on the website. And then let me show you one more interview that we did in the past couple weeks. And this one is with Chris Handy. Pack a game. Think pack a gum, but this time you have a game in there. Pack a game. Stick it in your pocket, bring it with you anywhere you go, and you guys can play games anywhere. Movies, while you're waiting, restaurants, before your meal shows up. Go to a pub, have a few drinks, drop some games on the table. So let's check out Chris Handy here with his pack of game.
Today I'm here with Chris. It's Handy, right?
It is Handy.
Yeah.
And my dad's name is Jack Handy, for real.
Really?
Just like the old SNL. It's spelled differently. It's H-A-N-D-Y, but he's got some deep thoughts for sure. So if you need anybody.
You know, Chris, what I'd like to do in the beginning here, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody who's listening and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure.
We'd love to hear about these games.
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. So I'm Chris. I've been designing games since 2000, and Longshot was actually my first design. A bunch of it popped into my head when I was on a wave runner, actually, on a lake, if you can believe it. And about 70% of the game popped into my head when I was racing on a wave runner. So, you know, that's how these things work. So anyway, so I made that game quickly and started making lots more games after that. I've been messing with card sizes in the last few years for some other designs. And so I just was messing with that. And then I happened to figure out how to make a tuck box for it. And because of that, I was like taking it everywhere and testing it. And then it was like, wait a second, this is awesome. We're playing this game a ton more than anything else I own because it's that small and literally does fit in, you know, in your breast pocket or whatever.
Yeah,
and
so portable, you know?
It really is. And so I just started thinking about that kind of form factor and those parameters a lot more, and just it was explosive. I mean, I couldn't make games fast enough. I've got long lists of ideas and themes and stuff. So I've been, over the last 6 months especially, I mean, day and night, really tuning the initial offering that we're going to kickstart with, and then some of the stretch goal games and stuff. So it's been a 100% focus for at least since the first of the year.
Wow. And so the Kickstarter, you're going to have that coming out, I think I read, what, August 4th?
August 4th, yeah.
And now, is there going to be four games, or are there going to be more than four?
Yeah, well, we're going to launch with four, and so then the first stretch goal, if we fund, will be game 5, and then after that will be game 6.
All right, I'm going to leave you right there with those interviews. If you want to check out any of those interviews, the one with Tom Freeman or the one with Chris Handy, you can go to the interview section at superawesomegeekshow.com. So, that trivia game. Yeah, I pitted Eric and Jacob against each other. Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings. Let's see who comes out on top.
So we're going to do geek trivia. I'm going to ask 6 questions. The first one to buzz in and answer the question correctly gets a point. Whoever has the most points at the end of the round wins. Right. There's going to be 3 questions from Lord of the Rings and 3 questions from Star Wars, because I know that you guys don't have equal knowledge in each subject. So the first question is going to be from Lord of the Rings. Who in the Fellowship of the Ring carries the Horn of Gondor?
Oh, Boromir.
You just yelled out the answer, Eric.
Boromir.
I think Jacob did it correctly. He said Buzz and then Boromir.
Oh, I even typed it in as a Buzz.
Congratulations.
So I'm going to give that one to Jacob because Eric didn't follow the rules.
Cheater.
I am a cheater. You got to watch me.
Are you both ready? All right.
Yep.
What do the Uruk-hai stamp on the ground before the Battle of Helm's Deep?
Oh, who knows this?
Was it? Can you repeat the question?
What do the Uruk-hai, those big old goblin guys with the, remember he put the white mark on their faces?
Yeah.
With his hand? What do they stamp onto the ground before the Battle of Helm's Deep?
Oh, geez.
I see Eric saying buzz already. What do you think it is, Eric?
They stamp, the Uruk-hai were here.
No, 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 it's not like a phrase. You know, they have something. They're like, ka-choon, ka-choon, ka-choon.
Oh, what do they stamp? Oh, it's their,
Jacob hit Buzz.
Okay, Buzz. Their, swords.
I'll kind of take that. Their weapons. It's the pikes.
They have pikes. The spears things, yeah.
Yeah. We'll take that, I guess. What do you think?
I like it. I like it.
All right, so.
Yeah, let me type Buzz again.
The last question is going to be, this one might be tough. You have to think back about Bilbo and when he's riding around with them. What does Bilbo compare himself to when he says he feels like this substance all scraped over too much bread? Eric?
Butter.
Correct.
I thought there were going to be some crazy questions, like really like the name of the elf god or something, which isn't that hard.
That was so tough.
Oh, it's
do I get a point for creativity with the Uruk-hai stamping the Uruk-hai were here, kind of like Kilroy was here?
We can give you you can get a half point.
Yeah, give a half point.
Right? Till the end of the first round, Jacob has 2 points. Eric has 1.5 points. Jacob is winning so far. The second round is going to have questions about Star Wars. You'll get 3 questions, and here we go.
God, I'm screwed here.
Who was referred to in the movies as the Emperor's prize?
Buzz.
Jacob?
Leia.
No, it wasn't Leia.
Oh. Never mind.
Do you want the line from the movie? I remember the line.
Of course you do.
Darth Vader said it. He goes, I do not want the Emperor's prize damaged.
Yeah, I felt like it would be Leia. Buzz. Oh, Buzz. Oh, he said it first.
Go, Eric.
Luke Skywalker.
Correct.
Oh, I was going to say Death Star. Never mind.
You got to watch your screen, John, because I had that up there for a period of time. And
it looked like the same as the last
one. I got to bury Jacob. You're going down, Jacob.
I'm getting confused by the buzzes because they're all the same. So I think it's the previous buzz, and it's not a new buzz.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number 2. See, you guys buzzed already.
No, I didn't. That's an old one, I'm telling you, bro.
That's the old one.
I'm telling you, bro. What rebel leader ordered Green Group to stick close to holding sector MV7? Jacob?
No, Jake, he didn't beat me. Look,
oh,
I got
all right, all right. No, I guess it is him, because he wrote in.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
What kind of game is this? Is this rigged?
Look, somehow yours got scrolled up off the screen, so all I saw was the...
I don't know the guy's name, but I know what he looks like.
What's he looking
at?
Eric got it first, so he goes...
What was the name, Eric?
I'm going to say that was Admiral Akbar.
Correct.
Oh, this was like, okay. I was thinking, you're doing episodes 1 through 3, too. Okay, I thought you were only doing classic.
No, that was in...
Did you like how I specified my buzz?
So that was in Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
Did you like how I specified my buzz as to which question?
Yes, it said buzz Star Wars question number 2. All right, here's your last question. So right now, we sit at Eric with 3.5 points, Jacob with 2 points. So...
I can't win.
No, you could. This is worth 1.5 points.
Jacob, what are you doing?
This is worth 1.5 points, so you can tie it up, Jacob.
Okay.
All right. What did the Emperor claim would soon be crushed?
Buzz.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead,
the Jacob. The rebellion.
Yes.
No, I was before you, Jacob. What are you guys doing?
Oh, he did. Yeah, he actually did it. He did.
All right. Well,
doing both. I guess it's because I'm doing both. I'm saying buzz and pressing enter at the same time.
I heard you buzz, looked at the screen, and went, oh.
But yeah, but Eric was first, and he obviously would have known that answer.
Do you know the answer, Eric?
Yes. The Emperor said that the Alka-Seltzer would be crushed.
That is correct. I think Jacob got it right. The rebellion.
Soon the rebellion will be crushed. I think he did. Do you have a death match final?
Yeah. Let's
take another random card from the Lord of the Rings one and another Star Wars one.
All right,
but make them 10 points each, and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say buzz and type it at the same time. So That's how I'm doing it. I don't know if you're going to do it the same
way. I'm looking at the screen. I'm ready. You remember Grima Wormtongue, right?
Yeah.
How does Grima Wormtongue flee across Rohan to Isengard when he gets...
Because on one of the horses, he steals one of the horses.
Wait a minute. Did Eric go first, though?
I did do it first. I managed to get in there first, but I'm going to go with Jacob on this one.
You really don't know?
I was going to say horse, but he already said it.
That's the right answer.
It's the course had to be a horse. I mean, they're the horse lords.
So you both got 10 points on that one. You both
I was going to say a T-14.
Skyhopper?
Oh, jeez.
He was going to get
a Womp. T-14 wasn't a Skyhopper. It was T-16 Skyhopper, wasn't it?
Was it a T-16?
I think it was a T-16 Skyhopper, right? What was the T-14?
I thought it was a T-14. I'll look that up. Go with the next question.
You guys are such geeks.
What three things compare the dark side of the Force according to Yoda? Or compromise? What three things compromise the dark side of the Force? Go ahead.
What three things compromise?
Yeah.
Fear, hate, and destruction?
Not destruction.
Fear, hate, and crap. Give me one second. Fear, hate. I can't think of the third one. But fear and hate.
Any idea, Eric?
Anger.
Oh, geez.
So you got anger, fear?
Anger. Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to... fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
But in that... Okay, so that's an answer from the new trilogy. How about the answer from the original trilogy?
Ooh.
Which he said in Empire Strikes Back a couple of times.
So fear and hate is definitely...
Anger, fear. I was giving you hate as anger, but it's actually anger, fear. Yoda goes anger, fear, the dark side, or thing.
I have no clue, man. I'm done.
Anger, fear, and aggression.
Aggression, yeah. Huh?
Oh.
Huh.
All right. One last one. What vehicle did C-3PO spot on the Tatooine desert when he shouted, "A transport! I'm saved!"
Buzz.
Eric, go ahead.
The Jawa Sandcrawler.
There you go. Eric wins!
Oh, I actually knew that one.
Eric broke
play the fanfare
tie.
Music. Start playing the Transformers theme song.
You got the power!
We'll have to get a little bit better with those buzzes if we do more of those in the future. I want to play this little part here from Crypticon. We met Jason Zachary Pott. So listen to this. He'll tell you a little bit about the comics he creates and the universe he's building. Pretty cool. So I'm here with Jason Zachary Pott at Crypticon 2014. He does dead babies with chainsaws, Deacon Jax, the homeless necromancer. Jason, what do you geek out about?
I geek out mainly about comics, obviously, but horror and spaghetti westerns and, well, if I do horror, it's mainly the Italian maestros like Dario Argento and all that. And looking around here, I see some of the stuff, but it's kind of funny. I see a lot of DVDs that I have, but I have the better version or the restored version. So, yeah, I geek out. So, yeah, I kind of like that. But when it comes to comics, though, I'm not your mainstream dude. I came first into underground comics, Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers, and then the European greats, you know, the sci-fi stuff there, Heavy Metal Mag or Metal Hurlant. But then Spider-Man and Superman, all that came later. And they did influence me. But when I do my comics, I try to, like what I was telling you earlier, is think outside the box. You know, I write comics that I want to read because I'm reading so many comics and going, that doesn't do it for me. I like that, but I do this. You know, and every time when I was doing that, someone finally went, well, why don't you do that? And I was like, okay, sure, all right. And I decided, well, what should my character be? And all of a sudden, wait a minute, why should it just be one character? And why should it just be one title? And why should I... Oh, okay, if Marvel and DC can make a universe, I'll make one too. And I love European comics, and I always call them Eurotrash comics. So I want to make the new Eurotrash comics, and they're going to be... I'll borrow from that Akira thing of Neo-Tokyo, New Tokyo. I do Neo-Trash, so they're the new European-style trash comics, to where you could dive in the middle of a story and get it, and not have to have an origin story, not have to have all the background of the guy. You learn about the person through their actions and what they do. You go, okay, this guy has morals because he just, yeah, he killed all these people, but he managed to give a lollipop to that little kid on the corner as he walks by and says, stay away from me, kid, you're bothering me. But still he does something nice for him. You go, okay, he's not completely bad. You know, a lot of my characters have moral dilemmas, but at the same time, some of them don't. But they're like, okay, I know that's bad, but there's no other way around it. And personally, I kind of like that ending to it, even though it's kind of immoral. It's what the person deserves, and they'll do that, you know, kind of thing. But at the same time, they're like, yeah, that sucked. I shouldn't have done it later. But you know, then later on, I'll have guys that'll be like, no, I'm glad I did it. You know, the establishment kind of thing. So I like that. You know, I like the rebellious person who's willing to stand in the middle of a room of Star Wars fans and say Star Wars sucks. You know, and here's why. And I love that. So my characters have that brashness to them, that they're like, yeah, I'm in comics, but this is my world, and if you're going to be in it, you better sink or you're going to, or swim or you're going to sink, because it ain't like yours. And I like that mentality. So yeah, I write comics that I want to read, and if people want to come along for the ride, please do. One of our catchphrases is to people is, if you like us, tell a friend, if not, tell an enemy, because we'll still be here no matter what. And that's what I do with my comics. And it works, because people see the titles. I rope them in with the titles because, I mean, let's face it, sci-fi writers like Harlan Ellison, who come up with great titles like The Beast That Shouted Love at the Heart of the Universe. Who doesn't want to read that story, okay? So when I do Professor Ozark's Secret Medicine Show, people go, ah, I want to read that. Or The Toxic Confessions of Johnny Morbid. I want the title to sell it, too.
Title is saying, is giving you, what is that?
Yeah. And it's like, it's here for you if you want it, but if not, boy, you're passing up something cool because it sounds cool, you know? So, yeah, you got to sell it in the title, too. Because when I see certain titles, I'm like, I know you're trying to be subtle. I know you're trying to be cool. But sometimes when you say Dead Babies with Chainsaws, and then someone says, well, mine's called Reflex, you know, and it could be about, like, a virus called Reflex or something like that that comes out of a toxic waste dump that was left there by a mad scientist and now it's seeped into the water supply. And am I not telling you something you've already heard? Yeah, but when you hear Dead Babies with Chainsaws, okay, where are we going with this? And it's like, right, where are we going with this? Come on board. Well, I'll take you there. And who knows? We may get there. We may not. But you're going to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. It's like kind of be the MC to a weird carnival and say, step right up. You were looking for something different? You found it. And that's what I do with my comics.
Cool. That's great.
And when we were up at Odd Mall this year, we met Kaylee Montgomery. She has a little Etsy store called Awesome Something. And man, her stuff is appropriately named. It's pretty awesome. So listen to this. Check out what Kaylee has to make. So I'm here at Odd Mall with
Kaylee Montgomery.
And Kaylee, why don't you tell us all a little bit about what you do? This is some pretty cool stuff here.
Well, I take toy guns like Nerf brand or Busby, and I paint them to make them look awesome. Popular stuff like steampunk or Star Wars or, you know, Star Trek or even sports teams. I just, you know, make them look cool.
There's a couple of weapons here that I think look vaguely similar to Hellboy-ish kind of stuff. Was there a little bit of influence in that too? Or
actually, I haven't done a Hellboy theme, but I've heard that before. You know, I do a lot of stuff. Like, there's a Mario gun here too. And, you know, I just put stuff together that I think looks cool, really.
Awesome. That's what it's called, actually. It's called awesomesomething.com. So that's where they can find these things, right? Awesomesomething.com?
Yes, and I also have an Etsy shop. It's awesomesomething on Etsy.com.
Cool. And is there something in particular that you really geek out about?
I am a huge Tron geek. I love Tron and super geek about that. And Star Wars, of course. So, pretty
cool. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we might pause for a spot of tea here. We meet Friday. She's with Friday Afternoon Tea. A whole bunch of geeky tea mixtures. Check it out. So I'm here at the Seattle Retro Gaming Expo, and I'm with
Friday. And Friday, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do here? Some pretty cool teas and things, right?
Yeah, that's right. I own a company called Friday Afternoon Tea, and we predominantly make geeky-themed tea blends. We sell tea to nerds. We have several different collections based on different, like, we've got a character class collection with six of the basic RPG character classes. We've got, you know, the bard and the barbarian and the paladin and all of these. We have blends based on classic children's literature. We've got blends based on video games. We've got blends based on science fiction and fantasy. We've got a collection of 10 different Firefly-inspired blends. Been wow. hugely popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're carried at a few different local nerdy bars and cafes and things like that. And it's just so much fun. It's so much fun because we just get to make tea for awesome nerds and just geek out all day, every day.
Yeah, that sounds great. You know, and speaking of geeking out, what do you geek out about? What do you really enjoy?
Yes. I'm going to have to say that if I had to pick, like, my ultimate fandom, like, geek out fest, I'm going to have to go with Harry Potter.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I read the first one when I was 11, before it even came to the United States, and that was it. I mean, that was it. I was done. Like, it's Harry Potter forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you read it over... Where did you read it, then? Where was the first time you read it?
Golly, on the spiritual retreat where I grew up as a child in California.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I have an uncle who teaches at the University of Glasgow, and he brought me a copy when it first came out in the UK, and I remember reading. I got it, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, and I was just absolutely lost in it. It was the best thing I'd ever read in my life. I'd never been lost in a book like that at the time, and I remember thinking distinctly, man, this is great. I hope that she writes more of these.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, you got one with the cool cover before.
I did. Yeah, I really did, yeah.
Those British covers are a lot better than ours.
They really are, I know, and that's the only one of those I ever had, but I treasure it. I really do.
I work at a bookstore, and it's my day job.
Nice.
And almost across the board, no matter what book it is. Like, you get a Patterson book, you get a nonfiction book on science, or you get a Harry Potter. The UK versions always have a better cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why they give America the crappy covers.
Yeah,
but
we don't know any better, I guess. Why do they give America the crappy tea, you know? We don't know any better.
Well, this has been great. Thanks a lot for chatting with me.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, cool. So once again, we're at Emerald City Comic Con, ready to get your geek on with John. Today I'm going to meet David Peterson of Mouse Guard. We're going to go up and talk to Kazukibu Ishii and Jason Kafo. They do Amulet. I'm sure a lot of you guys out there know Amulet. It's an incredibly popular graphic novel and book. And then we're going to go talk to Todd Nock. Let's get to geeking out with these guys. Come on. So first up, let's go geek out with David Peterson. David Peterson is mostly known for Mouse Guard. It's a really awesome set of graphic novels done by Archaea Press. I highly recommend you check them all out. Let's go see what David Peterson geeks out about. Come on.
Maybe Ninja Turtles might be it. I seem like if you get me talking about it, I can talk for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you really tried to keep boiling it down, really good, interesting, unique stories. I feel very passionately about Hellboy, Lock and Key, and Ninja Turtles are three of the ones that I can go on and gush like a fanboy and get nervous talking to the creators of it. So I know that's three things. So I guess unique, really good independent stories, but
hello.
I'll make Turtles the number one right now.
Sure. And now we're going to go over and talk to Jason Kafo and Kazukibu Ishii. They do Amulet. It's a really good set of graphic novels. Really highly recommend them. It's for all ages. Kids will love it. I mean, we're constantly having people come in Half-Price Books, the bookstore I work for during the day, and they're always asking for these books. Great stuff. Go check it out, and let's see what they geek out about. Come on. What's something you geek out about?
I geek out about basketball.
Cool.
I geek out about video games.
Cool.
Yeah, in a big way.
Thanks, guys. And lastly, we're going to go talk to Todd Nock. Todd has worked for Marvel. He's done, you know, issues of What the, Mutant Mishaps. You know, he ended up working for Extreme Studios, but it's a subdivision of Image. He worked on Bad Rock. He worked on New Men, Supreme, Youngblood.
he's worked in DC Comics for Legion of Superheroes. He's done Young Justice. He's also done his creator-owned series, Wild Guard. He did that through Image Comics. He's done, you know, Teen Titans. He's done Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. He worked on one five-page backup story in Amazing Spider-Man. Currently, it looks like Todd's working on the Nightcrawler series. You gotta go check that out. First couple issues are pretty good. Let's go see what Todd geeks out about.
Hey there, what do I geek out about is Mystery Science Theater 3000. I've been a big fan when I first discovered it in the early 90s, have every episode on DVD, and that's bled over into the riff tracks and next Total Riff Off on April 1st, so that's what I geek out about.
Cool, thank you. And here it is, we're going to close the show out with Guardians of the Galaxy, Rob's experience with the 17-minute preview showing thing. Here you go. Get ready to geek out with Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't wait for this movie, man. I'm dying.
Oh, dude, I saw the Guardians of the Galaxy 17-minute promo yesterday, which was badass.
Really?
Yep.
Where did you see that?
Lincoln Square, but they had it at a bunch of different theaters.
Oh, what was it on before?
Huh?
What was it on?
No. It was part of a special deal that you had to get tickets to.
Oh, okay.
So they had 17 minutes in IMAX 3D. They had like a 3-minute bumper, which they released today, and I posted up on my Facebook, which was pretty awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was great.
Do you think is it the beginning, or do you think it was somewhere in the middle?
I got a feeling that there's definitely more lead-in. But okay. I genuinely have a feeling, dude, that this may be like the next Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah. I got a vibe, man. I mean, they've got the set pieces are spectacular. The background aliens are ridiculously cool. And it was really badass.
Hmm.
You know, great characterizations. The acting was very solid. You know, Rocket Raccoon is wicked cool.
And Groot.
Oh, of course.
So we've only seen Groot in that one form in the trailers.
Uh-huh.
Does he actually change at all in the 17 minutes that you saw?
You see him rework his physiology a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's still canon in the comics, right? That he can... I remember way back in the day, he could sort of, you know... tendril roots would come out and stuff, you know.
Oh yeah, totally. And then they're definitely doing that in this. Like,
didn't he sometimes shrink down?
Well, he's one of those characters that, who can regrow from like a single sliver.
Is that what it was? Okay.
So if he's like blasted to smithereens, if Rocket can smuggle out a splinter, which he does every so often, he'll just plant it in a pot and water it and, you know, let it grow.
Groot will take root and come back.
Yep. So.
So how was the 17 minutes?
It was fucking awesome.
So there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. Well, Rob, he's not really a horse. Guardians of the Galaxy is awesome. Definitely geek-worthy, so we'll have to check that out. And here at the end, before we close out, we'll leave you with the song from Shell Shock Lullaby, All I Need, off their album Shades of Grey. Check it out.
Over, you were right. It's time.
tonight we see the truth. And all I need is someone who will care, someone who is there and will fight for me.
You've been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show. The Super Awesome Geek Show was conceived, created, and produced by Jason Rigdon, John Adams, Eric Locke, and Jacob Pilecki. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, and we encourage you to follow us on Facebook at Super Awesome Geek Show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. If you would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at john@mowich.net. Drop me a line if you'd like to do an interview, or if you've got a cool story you'd like me to check out and do a spotlight on. Or you can just contact me if you'd like to be a guest on the show. We're always looking for new people to geek out with. Well, that about wraps it up. Thanks a lot for listening to Super Awesome Geek Show. Keep it geeky out there, guys. See you later.